What a blessing to be in the house of the Lord again. I said, what a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord again. That was good timing with Mother Moore coming in during that song. That was a good timing. Amen. Hey, and if you know her, she doesn't just praise him here at the church house. She's praising her at her house, at the hospital house, or wherever else you might see her. She's going to be praising the Lord. And we ought to do the same. We ought to praise him at all times. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noonday. Praise him mid-afternoon. Praise him in the early evening. Praise him in the late evening. Praise him in the midnight hour. Then lay down for a few hours and wake up praising him again. We have new mercies every morning, right? We have new mercies every morning, Jeremiah said. So every morning, that's another reason to praise him. That's another reason to worship him. We are a blessed people. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So if you're redeemed, if you're born again, if you're saved, you ought to be praising him right now. I see you ought to be praising him right now. You know, God is an awesome God. A lot of times he doesn't necessarily deal with quantity, but quality. So even as I look out, like we kind of a little lower in numbers today, but it was such a blessing to see Sister Moore come in. And as I look back, it's a blessing to see Brother Griggs and Sister Griggs here. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. Also, it's good to see Brother Hawthorne here. I hadn't seen Hawthorne, Brother Hawk, in a while. It's good. He's our brother and sister Ford's son, for those of you who don't know. It's good to see all of y'all here. Sister Mary Ann and her sister. Good to see each and every one of y'all here. Sister Gaines. It's just good to see all of y'all here in the house of the Lord. What a blessing it is. You know, when you're out of the house of the Lord, the total corporate gathering of the saints, you know, you miss it. But let me say it different. Real saints, when you out from the rest of the saints, you miss it. You miss being in the house of the Lord, worshiping God. We worship him every day, but it's something about worshiping him with brothers and sisters in Christ. What a blessing that is. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, dear God, indeed, for the privilege to worship and praise you. We thank you for bringing Sister Moore back to the worship service, dear God. We thank you for that. And we thank you, dear God, for bringing Sister Griggs back to the house of the Lord. Father, we're just elated today. You are the God who heals. You are the God who indeed blesses us each and every day. You are the God who woke us up this morning, giving us reasonable health and strength. We thank you for bringing Sister Flippin back to the house of the Lord. So we're thankful today, dear God. We're thankful today. And we also lift up our Sister Hudson to your Father. She's under the weather as well. We know you are the healer. You are the healer. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. So we pray for healing today, dear God. We thank you for all that are here today. Thank you, dear God, for Sister Hardaway's sister who's with us today as well. So we just thank you, dear God, for every person under the sound of my voice. And we pray even now, dear God, you would speak to and through me to your people, that we all might leave here looking a little bit more like Jesus than when we first came, that we might all leave here being more in love with Christ than when we first came. And we pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I often have you all to stand, but my scripture reading is so short today. We read all of them earlier, Exodus chapter 20. Turn there in your Bibles, Exodus chapter 20, as I am returning to my Ten Commandments series, Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to read in your hearing one verse, verse 15. It's the eighth commandment. One verse, verse 15 of Exodus chapter 20. And it simply reads as follows. You shall not steal. You shall not steal. You shall not steal. And that's my sermon title this morning. You shall not steal. I was trying to come up with something kind of catchy and all that. The Lord said, just use my word. Just use the word of God. So my sermon topic this morning is you shall not steal. You shall not steal. I like watching old television shows. And one of my favorite old shows is the Andy Griffith Show. Especially if they have Don Knotts, you know, as Barney Fife. I mean, it just makes me laugh. Just good, clean. They don't make TV like they used to. It's good, clean fun. Well, we're talking about Do Not Steal. And one of the old episodes of Andy Griffith was about this guy. And he has a department store, you know, a store that had all types of things, clothes and different type of tools and kitchen products, just a little bit of everything. Way back then, you know, had those stores even before Walmart that had a little bit of everything in them. And so anyway, this guy was losing merchandise. So he goes over and talks to Sheriff Andy Taylor and Deputy Barney Fife. And he said, man, you got to do something. I'm losing merchandise. I'm losing my inventory. Somebody's stealing from me. Somebody's robbing from me. And so Sheriff Taylor and Deputy Fife goes over, and Barney Fife, if you know him or ever watched it, he always goes over the top. He does something extra zealous. And so he goes into the store and he acts like he's a mannequin. He puts on a little hat and he's just steel. And so most people walking by him, they don't realize that's him. Andy walks by him and Barney said, psst, psst. And he's like, Barney, is that you? And Barney said, yeah, it's me. And I've been looking and I know who's stealing. I know who's taking merchandise. And then Andy said, well, who is it? He said, that lady right there. And there was a little old lady. She had on a big overcoat, but a little old lady. And Barney accused her of robbing, accused her of stealing. And she was upset. She was irate. And the store manager said, Barney, are you sure? And he said, yeah, I'm sure. And she had a bag in her hand. And so he said, look in the bag. I'm sure there's some merchandise in the bag. And they opened up the bag. And guess what was in the bag? A Bible. A Bible. And so at that time, the lady's like, I ought to sue this store. And so the store manager, he's mad. He pretty much runs Andy and Barney out of the store. And so Andy and Barney are talking. And Andy, you know, he's pretty wise and shrewd. He said, Barney, you did one thing wrong. You can't accuse anybody of robbing until they leave the store. He said, that's the first thing you did wrong. She hadn't left the store yet. And so by that time, the lady comes out of the store. And Andy said, ma'am, I have a set of scales here. I want you to stand on these scales. And she said, what? Well, you want me to stand on these? Yeah, stand on the scales. And she probably only weighed about 100 pounds. So she stood on the scales, and the scales said 180 pounds. And so they said, how is that? And so Anna said, open up your jacket. And she opened up her jacket. She had all kind of stuff stolen in her jacket. Well, what's the moral of the story, Pastor? Anybody can steal. Even a little old lady with a Bible in her pocketbook, she can steal. Anybody can steal. And by the time I finish this sermon, all of us are going to be guilty of stealing. And God says, you shall not steal. Again, these Ten Commandments are given to us primarily for these reasons. One is these Ten Commandments and other commandments too. They show us the holiness of God. They show us the holiness of God. And then they show us the sinfulness of man. They show us my sin and your sin. And so thusly, we see the holiness of God. We see the sinfulness of man. And so it shows us our need for a Savior. Shows us our need for Jesus. Our need for God's grace. This eighth commandment says, you shall not steal. And before I get to different ways that you and I can steal, I want to first mention a few legitimate ways that you and I can acquire money, that we can acquire things, that we can acquire wealth. One way legitimately that we get money is by working. If you're physically able, especially men, if you're physically able, you need to be working. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. There's a guy I've been trying to help for a few years now. I love him to death. And he'll work. He'll do little odds and ends jobs, like work around your house and stuff like that. But that brother will not work 9 to 5. He just won't work. And so he's always in need. He won't work. And I have to often quote this verse to him. I said, man, God said, if you don't work, you don't eat. If you don't work, you don't eat. And I know many of us work, and even a lot of the ladies work. And I know some ladies are stay-at-home moms. That's hard work right there. That's a hard job, stay-at-home mom. So one way we can earn money is through working. A second way we can earn money is through a gift. You know, somebody might just give you a gift. Somebody might just bless you. You know, your mom, your dad, your children, a neighbor, somebody, a church member. Somebody might just bless you by giving you some money, giving you a gift. Third way you and I can legitimately earn money is through an inheritance. Through an inheritance. Maybe if you have a wealthy, it don't have to be wealthy, but you can have, you know, your father or mother, when they die, they may leave you with an inheritance. I had a friend, from the 80s, shortly after I came here from college, and he had an uncle who was a millionaire. And so his uncle died. And so my friend said, man, my uncle had all kind of nice stuff. And, you know, I'm fresh out of college, so I don't have any clothes or nothing like that. And so he said, you can come with me. We can go over to where he lived. And anything that's over there, we can get. So I go over there with him. I wasn't too proud, so to speak, and got me a couple of nice sweaters, and that was good. And my friend kept complaining, like, man, my uncle, he only left me with $20,000. And I'm thinking, $20,000, that'd be a nice amount of money for me, even today, $20,000. But then he began to tell me, it's a true story, he said, my uncle left $600,000 at Baylor High School and $600,000 at UTC. Now, do your math, that's $1.2 million right there. So I can see why the nephew was a little upset. But we can get money by an inheritance. Fourth way that we can legitimately get money is through investments, you know, stocks and bonds or real estate or those things. So we can get money legally various ways, by working, by gifts, by an inheritance, or maybe by investments. So those are some legal ways to get money. So now let's talk about some illegal ways to get money. Different ways you can steal. Write this down. You steal by what you take. You steal by what you take. You steal by what you take. Most of us are familiar with that one. You steal by what you take. Under that, it's like Grand Theft Auto. I mean, you plan it out, brother. How you plan it out, Aaron? How am I going to take that? How am I going to break into that house? How am I going to break into that car? How am I going to rob that bank? I mean, you plan it out, and you go and execute that particular theft. In our neighborhood some years ago, a lady got held up in her own driveway, got pulled up with a gun, and held them up. Around Christmas time, by the malls, people be doing all kind of robbing stuff. I even read where one person was up under somebody's car and came out from under their car and robbed somebody. Purse snatchers, those types of things. So you can steal by what you take. Grand Theft Auto. I'm going to get most of us on this one. Another way you can steal by what you take. Petty theft. Petty theft. That's like when you steal stuff from the workplace. You know, I had a homeboy back in the 80s. He worked with my brother. They worked at a paper mill. And you know, those people used to make pretty good money, make really good money. And so my homeboy, who was making really good money, he chose upon himself to relieve the plant of some of his tools from time to time. And as fate would have it, of course, they found out about it. They caught him and they fired him. Now, here it is. He gave up a $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 job back in the 80s in Arkansas for about $1,000 or $2,000 worth of tools. You know what you do in the light, in the dark, it's going to come to the light. You reap what you sow. So they fired him. So petty theft. Many people steal, like you might work in an auto shop, but you take an oil home with you. You know, you go to the cashier and, you know, the cashier, they give you back too much change. They suppose you give you back a 10, they give you back a 20. And you leave out of time, God done bless me, God bless me. And all the flesh and the devil fools you. God ain't bless you. You done stole some money from that store. And at the end of the night, that cashier, they're going to have to, you know, they're going to be in trouble for that. They're going to have to maybe make restitution, pay it out of their check or however. So you can steal by what you take. Petty theft. I remember in the early 90s, Tanya and I, we worked for TVA. You know, from time to time, you'd have pads and pens. You'd be like, man, I'm just going to take this stuff home. Now, I'm not talking about if you're working on a project or just you inadvertently take a pad or pen home. That's one thing. But I'm talking about you map it out. You know you need a tablet. You know you need a couple of ink pens. Well, rather than stopping by Office Depot, I'll just relieve my company of this. I mean, it's a billion-dollar company. They won't miss this, will they? So over time, Tanya and I had accumulated a few things. And we were taking, just being transparent, and we were taking, just talking about you shall not steal, how all of us have probably stole something in the past. We were taking Crown Ministries. I know some of y'all are taking that biblical financial class called Crown Ministries. And 1 week it was talking about how you should be on your job, what you should do with work, Brother Bray. And so one of the things that talked about said you should not be taking stuff from the workplace. And so Tanya and I got convicted, and we said, man, let's go to Office Depot and just spend a few dollars and get some stuff, some pens and pads, and take all this stuff back to TVA. So we got the little stuff, TVA stuff, and I took it back to the TVA store. And the guy was looking at me kind of puzzled and kind of wrong. I was like, brother, do whatever you want to with it, but I got to get it off my hands. So petty theft. You can steal by what you take. Grand Theft Auto, petty theft. Also, listen to this. You can steal by what you do. You steal by what you do. You steal by what you take, and you steal by what you do. You steal by what you do. For instance, an employer who doesn't pay employees a fair wage, that's stealing. That's stealing. Now, some of y'all are looking at me a little strange. So turn with me to James chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. James chapter 5, verse 1 through 4, talking about different ways you can steal. You steal by what you take. You steal by what you keep. Or what you do, rather. You can steal by what you do. Look at James chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. James chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Especially verse 4. God says in James chapter 5, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. So God is talking to these people who are rich, and they've pretty much acquired their riches illegally, or acquired their riches through not paying workers the right type of wage. He said, your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. Once again, God is basically saying, you all are rich, but you've gotten your riches in an inappropriate way, in an illegal way, primarily by not paying appropriate wages. Listen, verse 4 says, indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back, by fraud, they cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. God says, you have been having people mowing your lawns, cutting down your stock, painting your houses, doing all these different things for you, and yet you held back the wages, and God said, I'm upset with it. God said, I'm not pleased with that. He said, matter of fact, that cries out to me. So God says, if you are an employer, if you own a business, if you where you pay people, if you're not paying them appropriately, if you're underpaying them, that's stealing. That's stealing. Some of the workers, some of the employees say, yeah, say it, Pastor. But then employees, before you say amen too fast, you can also steal employees or workers. You can steal by not putting in a right day's pay for your employer. So as an employee, as a worker, you can steal by not doing right by your boss or by your company that you're working for. If you're not putting in an adequate day of work, you're stealing from the boss. You're stealing from the employer. If you are abusing your break time and lunch time, you're supposed to take a 30-minute lunch and you come back an hour later. You're stealing. It's that simple. You're stealing. And you keep that up too long, depending on where you work. You keep that up too long, they're going to fire you too. But you can steal by what you take. You can steal by what you do. Now, I'm going to lose most of you all on this one. You can steal by what you win. You can steal by what you win. Namely, the lottery. So I told you I was going to lose some of y'all. See, statistically, most of the people who play the lottery are people who are poor, who are impoverished. You know, none of us should be playing it, but most of the time, the least likely a person that's playing it are those who are poor, who are under, they're poverty stricken. And I know somebody's even saying, well, the lottery system is helping the educational system. But it's a sad story that the educational system has to get funding from such a messed up system called the lottery. The lottery is a form of stealing. I used to go to this convenience store a lot to get coffee or get some gas. And not trying to be stereotypical, but most of the time when I'd be in line, most of the people who were getting those tickets, give me the $10 book, give me the $20 book. Most of them, once again, not trying to be judgmental, but most of them, as you just check them out, you could tell they didn't really have the money to be buying lottery tickets. And then not only that, just mellow a little bit, they said, let me have a lottery ticket and give me a pack of cigarettes. I'm like, man, you better be. And then you watch them go on out of the place. Just being serious. I'm being real. And they get in. Now, I don't have anything against hoopties. I used to drive a hooptie. But they ride right on out of that store and get in a hooptie. I'm like, you need to be taking that lottery ticket money and that cigarette money and be trying to fix up that car out there. But you steal by what you win. You can steal by what you win, namely the lottery. I knew I was going to lose some of you all on this one. That might be another sermon for another day, but you can win, you can lose. I mean, you steal by what you win, the lottery. So you steal by what you take. That's Grand Theft Auto. We know about that one. You steal by what you take. Petty theft. All of us are probably guilty at some point or another. You steal by what you do. You steal by what you win. That's the lottery. And also you steal by what you keep. You steal by what you keep. Listen to what Psalms 37:21 says, the wicked borrows. The wicked borrows, but does not pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. Let me read the first part of that again, talking about you steal by what you keep. The wicked borrows, but does not pay back. The wicked borrows, but does not pay back. So listen, church, if you borrow money from somebody, but you're like, well, they got more money than me anyway. They got a lot of money. I'm going to miss it. And you decided not to pay them back. That's stealing. That's stealing. You steal by what you keep. I remember when I was a little boy, about 8, 9, 10 years old, one of my cousins came to stay with me, and he stayed there for about a week. He was a few years older than me, and so while he was there, you know how little boys do. I'm sure we were racing or seeing how far we can throw rocks, and we probably were betting. Like, okay, I bet I can throw your rock further than you can. If I win, I get 50 cents. If you win, you get 50 cents. But during that week, I lost most of those battles. So he was getting ready to leave. And he said, Gerald, I need my money. Give me that. I forgot what it was, but $4 or $5. Give me that $5 you owe me. I'm like, man, I ain't got no $5. So he gets upset and tells my mom and dad. And my dad pulls me to the side. He says, son, if you owe anybody some money, you need to pay them. And so he ended up, my parents had to pay them. But I learned a lesson about borrowing. Matter of fact, my dad even gave me a little more advice about not if you so much if you borrow money, you need to pay it back. But also he talked about loaning people money. And this is what he told me, and I've never forgotten this. This might help you out. He said, Gerald, never give anybody or never loan anybody more money than you can afford to lose. He said, never give anybody more money than you can afford to lose. I mean, so if somebody want to borrow money from you, whatever you can afford to lose, loan that to them, because he said, more times than not, you're not going to get that money back. And I remember that, and I use that, and quite often I have loaned people the money, and let's see, I was going to say 50% of the time. Probably about 80% of the time, I don't get the money back. But I'm not mad, because I just gave it to them as a gift then. I mean, you know, you lose friends that way. You know, you loan somebody money, and you're like, okay, he didn't pay me that little money back. Okay, I'm cool. But then they dodging you. They see you coming. They trying to go the other way, and you lose friends over a few dollars. But if you loan money, if you borrow money from someone, you need to repay it. So you can steal by what you take. You can steal by what you do. You can steal by what you win. You can steal by what you keep. Here's a good one. Here's a good example. Matter of fact, a great example about how you can steal. Tax refund time is coming up. Now, none of us like to pay taxes. Brother Curry, none of us like to pay taxes. And most of us think we pay too much to the government. I'm one of them. I think we do. Government, they shutting down. Are they about to shut down? The side, no, the government. They don't totally shut down, though. You know, they can't shut down the military. And I think about 40, 50, or 60% of things do get shut down. They can't totally shut down. But still, that's a whole nother sermon for another day. I mean, these senators and these representatives we have in D.C., they need to get this thing together. I think if we started taking some of their pay out of their pocket, I think they would get it together then. But tax refund time is up. So if you lie, and that's really next week, but if you lie on your tax return, if you lie on what you tell Uncle Sam, if you lie on your tax return, don't get too quiet on me, but if you lie on your tax return, if you lie on your tax return, that's stealing. That's stealing. Even though it's stealing from the government, that's stealing. That's still stealing. Even Jesus said, render to Caesar what is Caesar, that's the government, but render to God what is God. So even Jesus said, pay taxes. And then he says, also give God what is God's. And so since I just quoted Jesus, let me expound on the part of giving to God. Do you not know you can steal from God? You can literally steal from God. Stealing from by what you keep. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. It's the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. Verses 8 through 10. Some of us probably are familiar with this. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Talking about you can steal by what you keep. Talking about how you can actually steal from God. I used to attend a Baptist church some years ago, and they would read this every time before the offering. Now, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But I used to think even back then, Brother Chris, that's kind of overkill, reading it every week before the offering. But they would read, this is God's word. This is the word of God for the people of God. Listen to this. Talking about how you can steal by what you keep. And God is speaking this to the nation of Israel. And secondarily, he's speaking it to us. Text says, will a man rob God? God says, yet you have robbed me. But you and I say, in what way have we robbed you, God? And he says, in tithes and offerings. And then he says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation, even this whole church or Christendom, you have robbed me, God says. Then verse 10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Why, Lord? That there may be food in my house. Then he says, and try me in this. Some translations say, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, that I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, I'm going to talk about the end part just a little bit, but I mainly read it because of the first verses. You know, you can't beat God-given. Deacon Beasley prayed it earlier. You know, God loves a cheerful giver. You know, you don't give to get, but when you give with the right type of heart and you give to God, you can't beat God-given. I said, you can't beat God-given. I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home, and I watched my parents bring their tithes and offerings, and I saw over the years how God blessed them in many ways. And by God's grace, I've been bringing my tithes and offerings since like about 89. And look, I haven't missed any meals. Matter of fact, I've probably gained a few pounds. I mean, you give to God, God is going to give back to you. Give your time, talents, and treasures. And God tells us why. I've preached this before. It's been a couple of years. And let me say this as a side note. By God's grace, love, fellowship, this is a good giving church, a good tithing and bring the offerings, giving type of church. We probably can do better. We all can do better. But by God's grace, we're a small church in number, but we do do well financially by God's grace. But it's more blessed to give than receive. We even try to be a tithing church. We're trying to get to the point where we as a church send out more these 10% of our money, like to missionaries and benevolence and different things like that. We want to try to parachurch groups. We want to try to give out because it's a blessing to be able to give. Like I said earlier, it's a blessing that this year we're able to help finance two more missionaries. So by God's grace, there are 6 missionaries we help to support. And we don't give them a lot of money, but we're helping to support. If everybody give a little, that's a blessing. But God says, you have robbed me. How have we robbed you, God? In tithes and offerings. You can steal by what you keep. And then God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Why, Lord? That there may be food in my house. You know, as a church, we need to be able to try to help others. You know, God says, bring into my store that there may be food for others. In Acts chapter 6, the early church, they were bringing money and clothes and all types of things that all the saints might have. You know, the child of God should never be in tremendous need. And there's a difference between need and want. But there is a need in the body of Christ. There is a need amongst the saints. We as a church should be able to help them. Collectively and individually, we should be able to help them. God said, bring all the tithes into my house so there may be food in my house. And plus, hey, we got to keep the lights on. I said, we got to keep the lights on. And heat, amen, and heat. So you can steal by what you keep. And God says, but test me in this, try me in this, that I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive it. I've never met a Christian who gives to the Lord and gives with a cheerful heart and gives with the right attitude, who have been grumbling and mad, saying, well, God been giving to the Lord, but ain't nothing happening in my life. No, when you give to the Lord, he gives to you. Not always necessarily monetarily, but he gives to you. Blessed are those who give rather than to receive. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, that's for somebody this morning. You can steal by what you keep. By what you keep from the government, by what you keep from the Lord's house. So there are different ways you can steal. Here's another one. You can rob from God by not giving him your time. You and I have 168 hours in a week. 168 hours in a week. How many hours do you give to the one who woke you up this morning? How many hours did you get to the one who woke you up this morning? Matter of fact, how you doing on your Bible reading this week? Remember, we're keeping each other accountable on our Bible reading, right? So I know everybody got a reading plan, right? Either reading through the New Testament, the Old Testament, or reading through a book in the Bible, somewhere reading consistently, right? By God's grace, I've been doing pretty good on my extra reading and my journaling. Now my wife will tell you, I need to get better on my scripture memorization. I haven't been doing so well on that part. But give God some time. Spend time in the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. It would be a blessing to you. It will help you in your Christian walk. It will help you when you go through trials. It will help you in the good time. It will help you in the bad. It will help you in all the times. So we can rob God in different ways. You can steal by what you take, like grand theft auto, petty theft. You steal by what you do. You can steal by what you win. It's like the lottery, that type of stuff. You steal by what you keep. You can steal by what you keep. You know, I find it interesting talking about thou shalt not steal. I find it very interesting that when Jesus went to the cross for you and for me, that he was hung on the cross between two thieves. And as he was up there on the cross, both of those thieves were hurling insults at Jesus. But somewhere during those hours when Jesus was up there on the cross dying for you and for me, one of those thieves saw something different in Jesus. And he began to tell the other thief, he began to rebuke him and said, we're up here because we deserve to be up here. That's his confession of sin. That's him saying, hey, I'm guilty. I deserve this. So he told the other thief, we're up here because we deserve to be up here. But he said, this man in the middle, he's done nothing wrong. That's acknowledging the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that he indeed was God in the flesh, all God yet all man. He said, this man in the middle has done nothing wrong. Only one person, and that's Jesus Christ, only one person who has lived has never done anything wrong. And so the thief said, this man in the middle, he's done nothing wrong. And then he turns to him. That's kind of like repentance. He turns to Jesus and said, Master, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what did Jesus say? He said, this day, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, but this day you will be with me in paradise. I'm glad our Jesus is a this day type of God. He's a this day type of God. You know, you can receive salvation this day, not tomorrow, not next week, but today is a day of salvation. If you are saved, you can receive deliverance this day. As a saved person, you can receive joy and peace this day. You can receive victory this day. You can receive direction this day. You can receive vision this day. You can receive everything that Lord has for you this day. Because he's a this day type of God. He's a this day type of God. So whatever your needs are this morning, Jesus indeed is a this day type of God. He can meet you, whatever your need is this morning, whatever your desires is this morning. The Bible said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Oftentimes, we try to chase after our desires before we spend time with the Lord, before we spend time with God. God says, delight yourself in him, delight yourself in me, Jesus says, and I will give you the desires of your heart. So this morning, as we finish up this sermon on stealing, you might want to say, Lord, am I a thief? Have I stolen from you? Have I stolen by what I've taken? Even something like petty theft. Lord, have I stolen from you by what I do? How am I on my workplace? Lord, have I stolen from you by what I've worn? Lord, have I stolen from you by what I keep? By what I keep. Jesus says, God says, you shall not steal. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy.